So yeah, I've been here 4 years ago, so it's never thought to be back here. But God has called me back to Australia for another season of training, and we're here as a biblical core course school. And yeah, it's a privilege, and it's good to be back in Australia and good to be back here. So we've read John 1, verse 1 to 14. And this morning I will talk about five verses out of that scripture, which are verse 9 to 13. And I will give you, if you have your Bibles with you, you can turn there again. I'll give you a little bit of context of the letter itself. John was the one that wrote this gospel, and he was one of Jesus' beloved and dearly loved disciples. And he walked with Jesus. He lived with him. He was an eyewitness. And most likely, he has written this letter at the end of his life. And the reason that he wrote this is because the church, and not only the church, the people in those times were having a hard time believing that God became man. And that God came to the earth and was man and lived among them. And John wrote this gospel to prove all throughout this gospel, he is contrasting God being God, Jesus being God, sorry, and being man. So yeah, the first eight verses, it starts right off with the Word was in the beginning. And Jesus was the one. He was there when God created the earth. And he made it. In him was life. And he was called light of man. And then John the Baptist comes. And he is a witness. He is not the light himself. He came to bear witness to this light. So then we get to verse 9. And there it says, there was a true light. I have an NASB version, so it might be a little bit different. But there was a true light which, coming into the world, enlightens every man. The people those days would have known right away that John was talking about Jesus by using the words true light. As God in the Old Testament was often referred to as the light. And with that, in Isaiah 9, verse 2, Jesus is being prophesied about as the light. It says, the people who walk in darkness will see a great light, and those who live in a dark land, the light will shine on them. So the people would have known, there was the true light, this is Jesus. And it says, which coming into the world enlightened every man. Jesus had to come into the world to help people see that he was the light. And that he was the life. He had to come. God sent him to the earth for us and for them, those people, for them to know that he was the one that they were expecting. He gave life. He gave light. He was the one in the NIV, as we read it this morning, it said, and he gave light to every man. By coming through the world, Jesus gave life to people. Then, verse 10, I didn't say this actually, but we're basically going to go through these five verses and we're going to let the Bible speak for itself. I'm not going to go too much around it. The Bible is enough by itself. So we're going to just go through these five verses and that will be it for this morning. I didn't mention that before. So verse 10. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. John used the word world here, which meant and which was translated into human beings. So when you read the word world, it's human beings, it's people. So when it says he was in the world, again, John is emphasizing Jesus became man. Jesus came to the earth, and he became a human being. And the world was made through him. He was the one that created it. As it says in verse 3, all things came into being through him, and apart from him, nothing came into being. Jesus was there at the beginning. He was there with God. He created the world. And then he came into his own creation. into his own world. We wouldn't exist without him. Without him, nothing was made. Just to think about that. We wouldn't be existing if Jesus hadn't come, if Jesus hadn't made and created the world. And then it says, and the world did not know him. They did not recognize him. He came to his creation. He created the world, and he came to it. But then he was not recognized. When I was going through this, and when I was preparing myself, I was just thinking about that. How disappointing must that have been? How painful for Jesus going to his own creation. He made it. And then walking on the earth, and then facing such opposition of people not recognizing who he was. The next verse, verse 11. And he came to his own, and those who were his own did not receive him. So he came to his creation. His own is pointing out again at he created the world, his own. But at the same time, his own were the people of promise, the Jews, the Israelites. They were expecting a Messiah, and they knew he was coming. So when it says his own, he's pointing out at, John is making a point of his own creation. But at the same time, he's referring back to the Jews, the people of the promise, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the people that were studying the law. They knew a Messiah was coming. Those people were his own. But then it goes on in the verse and it says that his own did not receive him. They didn't see Jesus for who he was, even though they knew. Even though they were expecting a Messiah, and they knew the Old Testament, and they knew that he was coming, they did not see Jesus for who he was. When I was, last week, when I was preparing this, I was kind of thinking, that could be strange. How come they didn't recognize him? For us, it seems so clear. There's Jesus, and there is God, and there is man, and he's on the earth. But the people did not recognize. But then I thought, and I was reminded, I think God reminded me, well, when you came here 6 years ago into Australia to do my discipleship training school with YOM Perth, I had been a Christian all my life, and I went to church every Sunday twice, and was part of youth group, and was a Christian. I was one of Jesus' own. But then the very first night, God revealed my heart that I hadn't received him for my own. I hadn't received him for myself. I sat in church. I was part of youth group. I read the Bible. But I had never made that deliberate decision of receiving him for myself. So then it brought the whole scripture a little bit more closer to home. It's like, oh. They didn't receive him, but for a long time, I hadn't received him as well. So, verse 12. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name. So as many that received him, those people that saw him and that did believe, the people that were with him, that did follow him, and that did see that he was the promised Messiah. He gave the right to become children of God. That was their identity. They were giving that identity. You are children of God. And the same goes for us. We are children of God. This was just as relevant back then as it is now. But then it says, we are given the right to become children of God. I'm repeating myself. What does that imply? That implies that we have a loving Father. That implies that we have a Father that cares for us and that gives us the right to become his children. That gives us the right to stand in the identity of I am a child of God. Even those who believe in his name. What would that mean? I was thinking about that. Like, I don't get that sentence. But it's the people that didn't see him. We have never seen Jesus. There was people there that John was writing to. This was the second or third generation that John was writing this letter to. And they hadn't seen Jesus. They hadn't walked with him and lived with him. They didn't see him, so they had to believe, just like we do. We have to believe. We have to put our faith and our hope in something that we don't see. But also for those people and for us, we are given the right to become children of God. And that, yeah, if you think about that, that's our identity. And that can be our confidence. No matter what's going on, I am a child of God. So then, the last verse, where it says, "Who were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." Who were born, but of God. Nor by man, nor by flesh, nor by blood. Back in those days, status and family and where in the family that you were born in meant a lot. And that can still be. But John was pointing out here that it had nothing to do with that. It is because of God we were born. Because of God, we are children of God. Because that was his intention. That's why he created the world. That's why he made us. He's longing for relationship. He is longing. He gave his son. He gave his son that was with him at the beginning of creation. And he made him a baby and come into the world as a human being for us to see, for us to be enlightened. For those people back in those days, but also for us to be enlightened. And to get to know him and to be in a relationship with the Father that loves us and that created the world that is so big on one hand and so personal on the other hand. One thing that it says, nor by blood, nor by the will of flesh, nor by the will of man, three times. Not by this, but because of God. It's emphasizing that it is only through God, because he first loved us, and it's his intention. So those were the five verses. What did we see? We saw that it was Jesus coming to the earth, being humbled in such an amazing way that he came to the earth as a human being. And he came to bring light, life. And he wanted people to see. And then we saw that some people did receive, but some people didn't receive. We saw that God wants to give us the right to be his children. He wants us to be in relationship with him. That is his heart's desire. And it also mentioned that we have to believe. We do not see. We have never seen Jesus. But we know him. We know him in our hearts. But then there is the question, in what way do I know him in my heart? Like I said, 6 years ago, I thought I kind of had it all together and I was just there to learn more. But God revealed to me, you did not actually receive me yet. You haven't had my fullness of life. You didn't have full life until now. I want to be in your heart and really come alive within you. So as I'm coming to the end of this preaching, I just want to throw out some questions. And I just want to have some time for us to think about different things that could be applying to us. For example, Jesus came to bring light. Have we been enlightened? Have we been given life? And this might sound funny if I say, like, are we alive? But at the same time, it makes so much sense. We can go through life, but we're not actually alive. Or another question is, did we fully receive? And this is not something, for me personally, I don't think that's a one-time thing. That is sometimes in every season, there is certain decisions that we have to make and say, like, I believe, I receive. It's the different areas in my life that are just mine. It's mine, and I have not allowed Jesus in that because of fear or because of whatever it could be. Do we fully believe in the sense of, yeah, I go to church. Yes, I'm part of youth group. Or do we have relationship? And do we walk with him? And do we talk with him on the way to work on a Monday morning? Do we cry out to him when we are sick and tired of everything that goes on because it just became too much? Because that's what God wants. As children, we can have a relationship with him. We can complain to him. We can be real with him. He longs for that because we are his children. So maybe, could I maybe ask you to stand? And I will just pray with you. And after that, maybe we'll just be quiet for a couple minutes. And then after that, I think maybe Melinda and Brian will sing one more song with us. But just for us to be real with God and have relationship with him in this moment. After this couple of verses where he's talking about being the light and wanting to bring you life, asking ourselves, where are we at? So yeah, I'll pray. Lord, thank you. Thank you for this morning, God. And short message, Lord God, only 5 verses, I feel, but Lord, there's so much in there. There's so much that you want to tell us. And there's so much that we can learn from it. Lord, thank you. Thank you that you loved us first. Thank you, Lord, that it was your intention for us to be in a relationship with you. And Lord, being in a relationship with you is great, but it's tough and it's hard at the same time. And that's reality. But Lord, I believe that this morning you just want to maybe reveal things to us, or you want to encourage us. You want to show us that we're on the right track. So we invite you. We invite you and we ask that you'd speak to us. Lord, where are we at? Do we believe? Do we live in that identity of being your children? We can be so busy. Or we can be so lost. But Lord, you want to come. You want to come and show to us that you are there with us and you love us. So Lord, we want to invite you. Come and speak to us.